Yes, it's time for the global build-up with Hafiz Ibrahim Musa, who joins us on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
About 2 years ago, when alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah, I had the opportunity of performing Hajj, and I think I was in one of the smallest suburbs outside Makkah, I think it was Kakia, where I seen some oranges, and the oranges had come from South Africa, and I think that is a question that is on many people's mind, that where does all the wonderful fruit come from?
It's really a gigantic question to answer, and you know, we just go on throughout the day listening. Almost all the countries, you know, sending their best produce to Makkah. But I think the best way to answer this question, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a response to the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam when he said, رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا وَارْزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ, and provide the inhabitants of Makkah with fruits. And certainly did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answer that dua, and the fruit comes in the best of qualities from all over the world. A report that came yesterday from Saudi Arabia saying that Saudi Arabia during this Hajj season alone imports 120,000 tons of fresh fruit from Turkey alone. And the Saudi authorities have, you know, taken a special liking to the fruit from Turkey because of its quality and because of the ease, they say, with which they are conducting business with Turkey. They have signed a number of trade agreements, especially on the issue of fresh fruit with Turkey. And apparently most of this fruit from Turkey comes from the Antakya region of Turkey, and really it's you know, a Turkish treat or a Turkish delight when you just go through the names of the fruits. It's really everything, very fertile part of the earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed Turkey. You've got hazelnuts, which obviously main crop, one of the main crops of Turkey, and then you have figs, you have citrus, even from that part of the world, you have apples, you have pears, you have cherries, you have apricots. Really stunning stuff coming out of Turkey, and that is what many of the Hujjaj are going to be consuming this year, in addition to all the other fruit from different parts of the world. The Turkish Airlines is an important player in bringing these fruits down to Saudi Arabia, and from those 120,000 tons, the Turkish Airlines say they could bring about, on a daily basis, about 70 tons through the cargo carriers into the Holy Lands.
Subhanallah, what an arrangement Allah has put in place to bring the best of everything from all parts of the world to the blessed lands. And then as we move on, 39 Ghanaians, women, deported from Jeddah. What's this story all about?
When they're obviously for Hajj, but there are certain requirements that they did not meet in terms of the Saudi Hajj regulations. 39, so 9 of them apparently were sent back because they were underage. Now the story with this goes, it's not that they are a case of whether they're being allowed or not allowed to perform Hajj, but the suspicion from the Saudi authorities is that these underage women or children are coming to Makkah al-Mukarramah as illegal immigrants and plan to stay there thereafter. This is based on, you know, their investigations and the challenges that they've faced previously. So on that basis, none of them were sent back. The other 30 were sent back for the reason of not being accompanied. They were less than 40 years of age, and they were not accompanied by a mahram. And that was the basis on which the Saudi authorities sent these Ghanaian women back. The Ghanaians are, you know, appealing this. Obviously, the Hujjaj are now back home. It's going to be a challenge in a limited amount of time to get them back. But at the same time, I think the Ghanaian authorities are trying to now do the necessary checks back home to ensure that any of the Hujjaj who are still remaining to be ferried to Saudi Arabia, the females especially, will not face a similar fate.
And then Guinea sends Hujjaj for the first time in 2 years.
That is, you know, a follow-up on a story that we did, or a similar story to one we hinted at yesterday with Sierra Leone. The Guinea had, you know, been one of the countries hardest hit by the Ebola outbreak. They've since been declared Ebola-free. So 2,500 odd people unfortunately had lost their lives as a result of that epidemic. But Saudi Arabia maintained a ban on Hujjaj from Guinea not coming for Hajj until June of this year. And this has obviously put the Guinean authorities rather in quite a fix to sort everything out. They didn't expect this ban to be lifted with, you know, literally 3 or 4 months left to go for Hajj, and therefore there's been a frenzy. Many there's been a big backlog. 7,200 Hujjaj are being allowed to come this year, and many of those who couldn't make it in the previous years because of this ban have now rushed to register to be part of Hajj this year. But there's been all sorts of problems. They've been going to passport offices, and many of them have found that, you know, they need a new biometric passport to apply for Hajj. So those offices have been inundated. Many people have waited up to a week in these offices in queues to get any sort of luck, but they've been patient, and the Hajj authorities in that country are hopeful that this backlog will be cleared out very, very soon. And this is a very difficult country. In addition to the Ebola, they ranked about, you know, right at the bottom, almost right at the bottom of the Human Development Index. And, you know, Hajj relatively costs a lot, very much. It takes up to 30 or 40 years to save for Hajj from this country. But reports from the country say everywhere, everybody just remains optimistic. Stickers saying Allah provides. You know, we put our trust in Almighty Allah. And it's with the spirit that they're trying to navigate through some of these challenges.
And then a scholar calls Hujjaj to reject a Hajj sponsored by politicians.
this takes us back to Ghana. You know, for instance, in our country, we might have, you know, certain amount of Hajj sponsorships, but I think on a really small level for ordinary Hujjaj. There would be the sponsorships that come from Saudi Arabia, and that's, you know, distributed amongst various Islamic organizations and so forth. But it's much more prevalent in many of these African countries, be it Nigeria, be it Ghana, where politicians, you know, do what they do best, try to buy favors, it's alleged, through giving out sponsorships of Hajj tickets to various of people in their constituencies. And this imam, who I believe is considered by some to be too outspoken or controversial, he is in a radio program, brought up this issue, saying that it's the job of politicians to run their communities and to contribute to the development of their societies, not to buy patronage by sponsoring Hajj trips. And as such, he's told people to reject this, saying that if it is written for you to go for Hajj, you will go for Hajj, and if you know, you don't have sufficient money to go for Hajj, then you know, Hajj is not mandatory upon you, and you should not then be looking to handouts from the politicians to go for Hajj. It's a pronouncement that has, you know, been met with mixed responses, because some people have been saying, well, you know, this is an opportunity, it's been given to us, why should we reject it? While others have taken it to another dimension to say that many of these politicians try to earn patronage by handing out these Hajj trips, whereas in fact they're not doing anything. They are simply distributing the free Hajj tickets that have been provided to them by the Saudi embassy. So, you know, they're being deceptive in not actually disclosing who is the actual sponsor of this Hajj trip. The imam was asked towards the end of the interview why, or if people actually opt to go against your advice and accept these Hajj trips, will their Hajj be accepted? And his answer was, that is a matter for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decide.
Interesting development, undoubtedly. We appreciate your time. As always, Jazakumullah khair, and we look forward to the next edition tomorrow afternoon.
Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Hafiz Ibrahim Musa with the daily feature, Hajj, the Global Build-Up, bringing us on to 5:30 Central African Time.